Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God did the impossible in saving me, and God has done the impossible to save you. But what Jesus is doing is helping us to understand that one of the main things that stands in the way of people making it into heaven is riches.
God wants our peace, our security, to come from Him and Him alone. Trusting in God is easy when things are going well and we have everything we need financially, materially. But when times are tough and money is tight, do we allow fear and anxiety to outweigh our trust in God? With more on Jesus' words to the rich young ruler, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more out of Luke 18, 18 through 30.
Listen to what it says in Acts 2, 40 and 41. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." That's an invitation. Be saved from this perverse generation. How dare Peter give people a chance to be saved? Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and we should be as well. And that day about 3,000 people were added to Christ. Now I could go to more invitations. There's more of them in the Bible. I just want to say, and I love Ray Comfort. He's a Calvary Chapel guy. I love what he does, but he also talks down invitations. I think it's a mistake. The Bible is full of invitations. I don't care how you give it, give people a chance to get saved. It's extremely biblical. Now, what does the Bible say about eternal life? Jesus said, give everything you've got away and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In John 1:12, I quote this often, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. This means you have to receive him. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. In their day, dining was fellowship. It was different than what we do. We have fellowship when we dine, but to them it was really important. We'll cover that later. In John 17, 2 and 3, Jesus is praying to the Father, and Jesus says, as you have given him authority, meaning himself, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Salvation is not selling all of your possessions. Salvation is knowing God. Salvation is not selling all of your possessions. It's receiving him and inviting him in. I just have to cover these things because of this group that's going around teaching people now that you have to sell all your possessions in order to be saved, which would be easier for some of you. Some of you guys are like, I got 20 bucks to my name. That's it. There, I give it all. Welcome to heaven. The third thing is that Jesus said, drink of the water that he gives. This is the woman at the well. I'm not going to read it again. But if you drink of the water I give you, out of you is going to come living water. It's going to spring up to eternal life. So when you come to Christ and take what he has for you, you are given eternal life. Now, what did the rich young ruler do? He heard, sell everything you've got and be my disciple. Come and follow me. And the come and follow me is how we are saved, right? We're following Christ. And when he heard this is verse 23, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And the word for very rich there, by the way, is like, he's very rich. And when Jesus saw that, he became sorrowful. He said, how hard is it for those that have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, people try to play that down. They say Jesus wasn't talking about a needle and a camel, because that would be impossible. He's talking about a small gate next to larger gates in the Middle East, and they were called the eye of a needle, and getting a camel to get on its knees and bring it through the gate was very difficult. So what Jesus was saying was it's not impossible to be saved. He was saying it is very difficult to be saved. They want to water it down. But I don't think that's what he's saying, because of the response of the disciples. They didn't go, well, then it's very hard to be saved. Listen to what they said. After Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? It was possible to bring a camel through an eye of a needle, although as a gate, although that might be difficult. But they say, who then can be saved? And he said, these things are impossible with men, but are possible with God. We're talking about the impossible. In other words, have you been born again? Have you received Christ? Has your life been transformed? You have had a miracle. It's impossible that you could be saved, but God has done it. God did the impossible in saving me, and God has done the impossible to save you. But what Jesus is doing is helping us to understand that one of the main things that stands in the way of people making it into heaven is riches. Now, if I were teaching this message in West Africa, I don't think there would be much application. By the way, West Africa is one of the most impoverished areas on the planet. If I was teaching it there, it would be very hard for me to make an application. But America has somewhere around 6%, these are not exact numbers, somewhere around 6% of the world's population and somewhere around 30% of the world's wealth. We hit the lottery by being in the United States. We have far more money than most people in the world. And I realize some of you guys are struggling financially, and I recognize that. I'm talking collectively now. I'm not talking individually. So we've hit the lottery, which means one of our problems is that we can trust in money rather than trusting in God. And the older we get, Warren Buffett said that compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And so when you start putting away money when you're young, by the time you get older, it starts to accumulate. And I've got to tell you that as I was studying this yesterday, one of the last things I do before I get ready to start doing what I do on Wednesdays and Saturdays is I ride the bike for an hour in my office. It just kind of helps me just get more settled down. And I'm listening to another teaching, not connected to this, but God just began to convict me about, there was a time when I really struggled financially. I don't struggle financially now. And God really began to convict me. Are you trusting in your money? You're getting ready to ask people, are you trusting in your money? Well, are you trusting in your money? Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, and wear. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. And if you're about God's business, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be given unto you. And you might feel like, well, you know, I'm okay. Jesus said, don't stack up treasure on earth, but stack it up in heaven. Because on earth, moth can destroy, because clothes were expensive in their day, and you kept some of your value in clothes. A rust could come in and tear things apart, so you would buy other things that could be rusted, and thieves could come in and steal. So today, clothes is not that expensive for most of us. You might be wearing something really expensive, but most of us, clothes are not expensive. I heard of a pastor that was wearing $20,000 shoes, and I was like, where do you buy them? I don't even know where to buy them. So clothes aren't expensive. You might buy a car to hold value, like an old car you restored, and you can fix rust today. Rust doesn't destroy things. You can fix anything that's been rusted, you can fix. And your money's in a bank, not in, under your mattress, I hope, where thieves can't come in and steal it. And so you say, well, I feel pretty good. I've got my 403B. I've got with Fidelity. I've got some cash that we've developed over the years. I sold a business. I've had a liquidation event. Most people in America will have two liquidation events throughout their lives. That's when, you know, someone dies and leaves you money, or some event happens and you suddenly come into a good number of money. And you're like, well, I haven't ever had mine. Well, you're due, all right, for it to happen. So you've got money put away somewhere. You've got, it's in a bank account. It's in Fidelity. It's in TD Ameritrade. And so you start trusting in that. You look at your retirement and you're 64 years old and you think, I've got enough to retire. I'm going to be good. But are you really? I don't want to scare you. Kind of do. But the trucker crisis in Canada, one of the things they did was freeze the bank accounts of the truckers. You can be canceled on YouTube because of your political views? How long will it be before your political views will shut down your bank account so you can't give to whatever political party you're a part of? You think the internet can't be controlled by our government? What are they doing to the oligarchs in Russia today? They're shutting down their bank accounts. They're seizing their yachts. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, all right? I'm just telling you, you might not be as secure as you think. You might be trusting in money when you might not have access. What happens if the internet goes down? You're like, you're going too far now, Robert. The internet's been around for 30 years. It's not going to go down. Oh, pardon me. 30 years. By all means, it's established and will never go down. What if it's part of an attack? What if they want to cut us off from our money because of a war? What if they want to hurt the United States financially and they cut your money off? You say, well, I'm going to get my money out and hide it under my bed. Yeah, and then somebody hears about it and tortures you to find out where your money's at. Right? So we're right back to what Jesus said. Don't put your trust in money. I want to read you a couple things the Bible says about finances, and then I got to be done. Number one, there's a problem with the love of money. This is 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say money is the root of evil, the love of money. People cannot even have money, just be in love with it and have money mess them up. They don't even get the benefits of money, and money messes them up. It says, for which some have strayed from the faith. Some versions use shipwrecked in their faith. People's faith can be shipwrecked because of money. It says, in their greediness, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We could use examples of people who have won the lottery and lives fell apart when they did. You cannot serve God in money, and this is Matthew 6:24, and I won't read it all. But Jesus says, if you love money, you won't love God. And if you love God, you won't love money. So do you love money? That's going to tell you a lot about whether or not you really love God. You can't serve two masters, said Jesus and Bob Dylan. Jesus is the more important one there. So what do you do if you're rich? What do you do if you have money? You might not even consider yourself rich because you've got enough retirement to take some out and to live comfortably. But what do you do if you have money? Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. He doesn't say command them to give everything they've got to the poor and go follow Jesus. Command them in this present who have money in this present age to not be haughty. The richer you get, the more prideful you can get. Nor trust in uncertain riches, and they still are uncertain. And I think I pointed that out. But in the living God, trust in God. Your money may let you down. Inflation may eat it away. Your money could be worth half of what it is in 5 years if we're at a 10% inflation rate. I didn't want to scare you today. I'm just telling you. It says that God gives these things richly to enjoy, who gives us all things to enjoy. So God has given you the finances that you have to enjoy. That's good to know. So if you're enjoying the provisions God has given you, that's okay. But here's what he says. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. Use the finances that you have to do good works. Be ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time that is to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. So Paul wrote to Timothy telling them, same thing Jesus said, money can get in the way to where you're starting to live for it now and you no longer love God. So be rich in good works. Know that God's given you things to enjoy, but do good, help those that are in need, be generous. Now, Peter is really funny. Peter realizes we did exactly what the rich young ruler wouldn't do. Peter, he had a business, but he didn't have as much money as the rich young ruler. And so, verse 28, Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. There's salvation again, following Jesus and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, parents, or brothers, or wives, or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. That might be in missions. that might be still going and doing some medical missionary work somewhere. It might be that you might die for Christ and leave your family, and you wouldn't have died if you weren't a Christian for Christ. That's been throughout history. And then Jesus says, there's no one who's made these sacrifices who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So know that if we do sacrifice, God is going to honor that. I'm going to close with this verse, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Those are the words of Jesus. He didn't tell us to give to appeal to our greed. Given and will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give unto your bosom. Okay, I'm going to go give because Jesus is going to give me more money. That's not why he told you that. He told you that so you would know it's okay for me to be generous. Help people you run into in need. Help the poor. Find ways to help someone who's struggling with something. Know that it's okay for you to do that because that's part of the reason God has given you your finances. And make sure you don't love money because it can keep you out of heaven. Because you can't love money and God at the same time. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the great wisdom in this account. We know that Jesus loved this rich young ruler, but he would not get rid of his money. He wouldn't trust in you rather than his money. And he could have been a disciple, and how awesome that would have been. I pray that you would help us, that we would not serve money, but we would serve you. That we would not trust in the uncertainty of riches, but we would trust in the certainty of our Heavenly Father, who's never going to have anything stolen, who's never going to have his bank account frozen, who's never going to have anybody take away his provisions for being able to help us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a moment. And I'd like to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never received Christ. You have to come to the point where you are born again. You can't just keep pushing it off. You have to say to him, Lord, come into my life. I give it to you. What do you want from me? God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a call on your life. Just like he walked up to Peter, James, and John and said, leave your nets and follow me. There are some of you here today. God is saying, leave that and follow me. Leave that lifestyle and follow me. It's time for you to become my child and trust in me. And if you would like to do that, I've read enough passages on inviting Christ into your life today. You need to receive him. And you do that by simply saying to him, I want you in my life with sincerity. When you do that, you will pivot. If you want Christ to live in you, you will turn away from ungodly things. There is a natural repentance when you begin to live for Christ and you turn away from things that you've been living for before. And if you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand. Lift your hand up now, lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take just a few moments to go around the room and acknowledge the hands that are raised, to pray with you and for you as you are saying, I want to give my life to Christ. God bless you. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, it's because he's drawing you. Just raise your hand now. God bless you up in the balcony there. God bless you as well. God bless you guys over on the edge. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, under the balcony there. That's great. God bless you, sir, right by the edge of the balcony. All right. And God bless you right here in the front. Thank you. And if I've missed your hand, know that God hasn't missed it, all right? God's the important one that sees it, okay? God knows your heart. You can put your hands down, and if you're online, you can pray this prayer with me as well if you're ready to invite Christ into your life. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, I want to say, especially today, raising your hand doesn't save you. Saying a prayer doesn't save you. You say, well, why did you have me raise my hand and say a prayer then? Because that's the point of faith. That's where you're saying to Him, I want you in my life. And you need to follow through now. There are a lot of people that make commitments in church and walk out and don't follow through. We have a new believers table. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. We want to help you. We've got programs at the church for new believers to make sure you have a good start so you can have a better finish. If you're online, you can send us a text, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. That's our new believers card. Click on that, fill it out. There's a section in there for your story. We'd love to hear what Christ has done in your life. There's a box you can check, I want to be baptized. Please check that. And if you're going over to our new believers table, let them know you want to be baptized as well, and we'll sign you up for a baptism. When you make a commitment to Christ, you need to be baptized. You say, I was baptized as a child. So was I. I was baptized as a baby into the Methodist church. And I like to say it didn't hurt me, but it didn't do what baptism was meant to do, which is after you believe, you have a symbol of laying down your old life for Christ and rising up in the newness and the power of Jesus Christ. And we would love to be able to baptize you. So mark that in that. All right. Now I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. So I'm going to pray for our greediness. All right. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to do it. Father, help us when we are greedy, and maybe even more so when we're trusting so much in our money because we're fearful. You love us. You care for us. You take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and you will take care of us. And even if there is a war that shuts down our access to the money that's custodied somewhere else, we know we have you we can trust in, and we will not live in fear. We will trust in you, our God, and help us to not love money, but to love you, and we will not love money. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself closer to Christ than ever before. And if God is drawing you, may you come to that place where you will surrender your life to him. Stop living for yourself and begin to live for him. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, you save it. That's an ironic statement, but it is true.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @Calvary Tucson or Facebook @Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.